Three, two, one. Welcome back to the Bushnell Project. John Bushnell here as I try to encourage us to be reading God's Word. And today we're going to look at the middle part of the story of Jephthah, who has been raised up by his brothers who try to get rid of him. And now he's going to be used by God and deliver them. But there's some interesting things in here. So we're going to dive in here, and this is a perfect example of why we should read, listen to, and know the Word of God, so that when we do something that turns out to be pretty foolish, that we realize, oh, God's made a way for us here. So, all right, let's dive right in here. We're in Judges chapter 11, verse 29, and we'll read to the end, I think. Of chapter 11. So here we go, verse 29. Then the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh, and passed on to Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead he passed on to the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will give the Ammonites into my hand, then whatever comes out of my from the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the Ammonites shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah crossed over to the Ammonites to fight against them, and the Lord gave them into his hand, and he struck them from Aurora to the neighborhood of Minnith, 20 cities as far as Abel Karamin, with a great blow. So the Ammonites were subdued before the people of Israel. Then Jephthah came to his home at Mizpah, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with tambourines and with dances. She was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. As soon as he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low, and you have become the cause of great trouble for me. For I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot take back my vow. And she said to him, my father, you have opened your mouth to the Lord. Do to me according to what has gone out of your mouth. Now the Lord has avenged you on your enemies, on the Ammonites. So she said to her father, let this thing be done for me. Leave me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down on the mountains and weep for my virginity, I and my companions. So he said, go. Then he sent her away for 2 months, and she departed, she and her companions, and wept for her virginity on the mountains. And at the end of the 2 months, she returned to her father, who did with her according to his vow that he had made. She had never known a man, and it became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went year by year to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in a year. Now I want to, all right, we'll back up a little bit. We'll deal with the oath and what happens to Jephthah's daughter here. But let's go back to the warring of Jephthah. So Jephthah has tried diplomacy, it didn't work. So now he picks up his sword. He makes a vow to God. If God will be with him, then he will sacrifice something in his house. Whatever comes out first. Now, very common for these guys back then to have one home that was also the barn. Humans would live in the loft or the upstairs, and their animals would live down below. So if you're coming home, it's pretty logical that an animal would be the first thing to come out to greet you. I don't know that animals do that unless they haven't been fed in a while. But anyway, it may be a dog, but it's obviously, it turns out to be his daughter. But I want to deal. So we're dealing with the area on the east side of the Jordan River and Dead Sea. So from the, on the east side of the Jordan, of the Dead Sea rather, is Moab and Reuben, Gad, and then in the furthest northeast, Manasseh. And this is the area where the Ammonites have come in and are creating all these issues. And so Jephthah, who's living in Mizpah, which is in Gad, really close to the Ammonite territory, he seems to come north according to the way this reads. I mean, comes south, and then from the south up, taking care of all these 20 cities, and even into the Ammonite territory, because it talks about Abel Kuraman. So he delivers a great blow to them, destroys them, subdues them, is the way it says. And then as he comes home, his daughter is the first one to come out. So now let's deal with that, this crazy idea that you're going to sacrifice your daughter. Now, if he knew, and if the Israelites knew God's word, they would have remembered from Leviticus chapter 5, I want to say, in chapter 5, near the beginning, where it talks about if you make a crazy rash vow, or you make a vow and you realize later that was really rash and dumb and would not be pleasing to God, or would actually contradict God's law, that there's a way to repent of that. And you would make a sin offering for your sin of making a bad vow, not for breaking the vow. The idea is that you wouldn't keep the vow. So, for instance, human sacrifice goes against God's law. So, if you make a vow to sacrifice whatever comes out of the cave or the house, whatever first, and it happens to be a human, then you go, oh, well, that was a mistake. Okay, let's backtrack a little bit. I need to repent of that sin and change course. So that was his out. He didn't know that. Nobody else seemed to know that. And we're not, I think there's a lot of people who are hoping that he didn't kill his daughter. It could be, you could read this, that she would not have an opportunity to ever have children. That was going to be what was going to happen. She would stay a virgin her whole life, which means that Jethro would never have grandchildren. And so that'd be pretty bad, but not as bad as killing her. So there is that might have been what happened, even though it alludes to Jethro fulfilling him saying that he then fulfilled what he, the oath he had made, which is what many people believe happened. So then he would have sacrificed his daughter, which would have been totally contrary to God's word and would not have been a sacrifice to God, even though there is the one instance where God tells Moses to sacrifice his son, and which he is willing to do. But that is before, I'm sorry, Abraham. Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac, but that is before we have the Ten Commandments, right? So lots of crazy things to think about. But here's the main thing here is God is a God who delivers his people because it's what he said he was going to do. He doesn't deliver them for a vow. So you can say, hey, God, if you deliver us from this, I'm going to give you X, Y, and Z. God's like, actually, we're just fulfilling what I've already said I was going to do. So thanks, but no thanks would be the thing. Now, if you were to have a, there are some vows in the Bible, Nazarene vow, they don't cut their hair, they don't drink any fermented drinks, and but that's in a whole different category. But I wanted to go to Hebrews and read out of the chapter of faith, and I'm actually trying to think through what exact verses in chapter 11 that was, but they're actually, so here it is, chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell you of, and this is talking about people of faith. By faith, people cross Red Sea on dry land, so on and so forth. And he gets here and he says, I tell you of Gideon. Now, we already talked about Gideon wasn't great, right? Barak, Samson, and here Jephthah is mentioned. Jephthah of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, and quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and were made strong out of weakness, because became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. All right, so Jethro put a foreign army to flight, and he is accounted to him that he did this by faith. It was his faith in God. And so, two lessons I think for us is one, careful of your oaths. Two, and know God's word. So if you make a silly oath, know that, okay, God is made a way for us to be forgiven of that, if we repent of that silly oath, and then to move on. Or an oath that ends up being causing us to do something that's contrary to God's word. So they're not very common today, but we see this one with Jephthah for sure. The other thing for us to gain from here is that God calls us to live by faith, and we can be doing things really wrong and still be credited faith, which saving faith that gets us on the list of, hey, we're God's, not because we're perfect. Matter of fact, we mess up a lot. And we look at that list of men there, they messed up a lot, and they're still, their names are still written in the book. So that's something for us to be encouraged, that this shouldn't encourage us to go out and sin more, or, hey, I'm just going to keep sinning because, you know what, God's faithful. God is faithful. He has a plan for us today, and we are in that to glorify God in all that we do. We're to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and we're to set our eyes on Him. And in the process of doing all that, we're going to fall short in some way or another. But knowing that God looks at our faith in Him and credits that to us in a very, very positive way. So go by faith and glorify God, worship Him in spirit and truth. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you all.